That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Chicago Blackhawks pregame show. Charlie Remeliotis here after a 4-2 Blackhawks win over the Anaheim Ducks to wrap up the five-game road trip. You can call or text 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in on the post-game show that we're going to have tonight. Going up to 10:30. Let's go back to Honda Center and bring in Troy Murray so he doesn't miss his flight back home, because it was a long road trip, Troy, and this was a great way to wrap it up for the Blackhawks.
You loved the way they finished this road trip. They competed. They were in every game, basically. Did they get outplayed at times? Absolutely. But, you know, every game they showed some good spurts, some good moments. And I think tonight, you don't look any further than Soderblom on this one. He was excellent at the beginning of this game. And if you look at the shot attempts, I just did the math here. We all know that math is not our strong suit in the booth here. But 91 shot attempts for Anaheim in this game. 91 shot attempts to the Blackhawks 46. The Blackhawks blocked 25 shots in this game. That's way too many. It's good that they're blocking those shots, but at the same time, that means you're spending way too much time in your own end of the ice. They had opportunities. They missed the net another 23 times, did the Ducks, but they hit it 39 times, and Soderblom stopped 37 of them. He was excellent in this game, and that's a real confidence booster for him to average, to even out his record on the season. And boy, that's going to be a good feeling inside that locker room. Everybody's happy when Soderblom goes in and gets a game like this, and you win it with your backup goaltender. You know, your starter gets most of the accolades, and they certainly are deserving with Peter Mrazek. But Soderblom came in here and he played really good, especially at the beginning of the game where the Ducks were taking it to the Hawks.
Yeah, you mentioned Soderblom. I mean, he was absolutely terrific. The Blackhawks won the special teams battle as well. You agreed with John that it played an important role in this game tonight after the Hawks went 2-for-2 on the power play and 4-for... it should have been 4-for-4 on the penalty kill. That last one was a garbage one.
Yeah, you don't really factor that one in, but, good for the Ducks to keep pressing and finally getting another goal on the board. But it was really important for the Hawks. They go 1-for-1 in the first period, set the tone for the game. You're already up 1-0. You add to that when Killorn takes an undisciplined type of penalty in the neutral zone, a trip, and then all of a sudden you're up 2-0. The Teuvo Teravainen goal made it 2-2 zip. And then in the second period, great power play setup by Connor Bedard to put it in the wheelhouse for Seth Jones, who picks up his second of the season. But it was the movement that you saw from the second unit on the first goal and the movement by the first power play unit on the second goal. That's going to give them a lot of confidence, but it certainly made the difference in the game. When you're maybe getting outplayed, you get a goal, Isaac Phillips opens the scoring, but you're still kind of in a position where the Ducks are getting the better of the quality opportunities. You get that opportunity on the special teams, and you made it count. And that was a big moment in the game to go up 2-0. And then they were able to add to that in the second period as well with their second power play goal. Big difference between, 1-0, not having a good power play, giving Anaheim the belief that they can still be in the game, and all of a sudden you're getting outchanced. Your goaltender has been holding you in there. You get that one power play chance, and they can't get the kill done. So that was a tough one for them. And then the insurance goal that you're looking for in that second period, if you can keep it within two, it's a close game. Anything can happen. When you get to that three mark, it's a big difference. And the Hawks were able to, keep that in their pocket. Anaheim was able to score, and it made it a little bit interesting. If the next shot goes in, now you really got a game. But Soderblom again came up really big in the third period when Anaheim started to come on with their push.
All right, let me do some quick math here, Troy. The Blackhawks won 3 of 5 on the road. That would be 6 points of a possible 10 on this road trip. How do you sum this one up, the entire trip?
Well, they got 6 points out of the possible 10.
For those that didn't listen to the postgame show yesterday, that was a little subtle jab at Troy, because I couldn't do some quick math on the fly.
Well, I threw that at you a little bit out of the blue. Yes, I did. And you assumed that I was talking about, and I can't remember what I said, but you were trying to go over the season's record on the road, and I was just talking about the road trip. But
I went back and listened. You had said, what was the record on the first four road games? And so my mind went to the first four road games of the season. I was like, I don't know what I can't remember. And that's where it got thrown off, but that's okay. We recovered today. I did quick math. 10 out of 10, or 6 out of 10 points.
10 out of a possible 6 points. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
No, but you know, it was really important. And yesterday was a pivotal game. You're in a position where you've won one out of the first three games. Now you go into L.A., tough building, more veteran team. They've won three in a row. They were playing really good. They just beat Vegas. And the Blackhawks come into town, and they win that game. So now you look at, okay, we're 500 in our first four games. Doesn't matter who you've lost to, who you've beaten, you're 500. Anytime you can go on the road for five games or whatever the road trip is, and you can come back 500 or better, that's a good road trip. Because if you look at the top teams in the NHL, the teams that make the playoffs, their road record is about 500 or better. And then they have the majority of their wins at home. So the Blackhawks to win three out of these two games. And when you look at it, six games in 10 nights, including the first game of the back-to-back before the road trip started. So this was kind of interesting. Back-to-back, some time off in between the next few games, and then back-to-back to finish it before you head off. But to come back after winning the last two games in this road trip, you could have easily lost both of them and say, okay, we're 1-4. Now we're really in trouble. But by them winning these last two games put them in a position where they can start building some momentum off this. Red Wings are coming into town, and they're about a 500 team as it stands right now. So they're not lightening up. It's going to give you an opportunity to come back and use the United Center, use that energy. But it doesn't mean you can just throw your sticks out there and expect to get results like you did in these last two games. You got to earn it, and they're going to have to play better than they did in certain situations. The Ducks are a young team, but they create a lot of opportunities. They create a lot of confusion for the Blackhawks' defensive structure. Got to work on that a little bit and not rely so much on the goaltending.
All right, good stuff, Troy. I give you a 10 out of 6 for your broadcasting performance on this road trip.
Well, I appreciate that.
Safe travels back home. You guys were out there for a long time. We miss you guys.
Well, we'll see you. We'll miss you. I miss you too.
All right. We'll see you Wednesday. That was Troy Murray, who's over at Honda Center after a big 4-2 win for the Blackhawks. Kind of wanted to continue following up on Arvid Soderblom's performance. I mean, man, he was excellent all night long. And that's a poor Arvid, you know, was talking about it during the intermission. He had appeared in 52 games with the Blackhawks prior to tonight's game, and he had only 7 wins to show for it. A lot of those games, Soderblom didn't have the offensive run support for the Blackhawks. I remember doing a story, I think it was last year, maybe towards the beginning of the year, where it was like Arvid's first 30 games or so with the Blackhawks, and the goals per game average in his starts was like 1.9. Like, it was ridiculously low. And there were some performances where he played well. There were some performances where he didn't play so well, but he just did not get any puck luck as far as just his team scoring goals. So it was nice for him to get offensive support tonight with 4 goals, but man, this was as good of a performance as he's played in his NHL career so far. Credit to Natural Stat Trick for this. The Anaheim Ducks expected goals tonight was 5.67. Their actual goals were 2. So that means Arvid Soderblom saved 3.67 goals above expected, which is a ridiculous number. He stopped 37 of 39 shots today in the game. He had 29 saves in a row before Anaheim scored with 9:44 left in regulation, and then they ended up scoring with 4 seconds left. So it was basically a one goal against game, because at that point the game was over and the extra attacker was on during the power play, so it was a 6-on-4. It was Arvid's first win with the Blackhawks since March 30th versus Philadelphia. So that is a much needed victory for Arvid Soderblom, who, by the way, made his first start since October 19th. So it was basically almost 2 weeks of him going between starts. He had missed about a week with an illness that really kind of knocked him out. And the Hawks had to ride Peter Mrazek for six or seven straight games. One of the things, Arvid, I remember talking to him during training camp, and I was asking him, hey, when you reflected on last season and then went into the offseason, what is one thing that you felt like you got away from or was one of the areas of weakness last season when you looked at the overall, the grand scheme of things? And I thought his mind was going to go to his rebound control, because that's something that was a real sore spot in his game last season. And he went more to the reasoning behind the lack of rebound control, and that was working on his eyes and tracking pucks. So he felt like last year he didn't do a great job of seeing through traffic and spotting the puck to make sure that he can actually come up with an initial save. And so that was one of the reasons, that was probably the main reason, I guess, in his eyes, why he really struggled with rebound control last season. And to his credit, his first three starts, so now it's 88 saves on 95 shots in his three starts this season. That's a 926 save percentage, which is well above league average. I mean, that's elite territory through three starts. And so it's a small sample size, but it's a very strong start for Soderblom, given how difficult of a year last season was for him. Specifically, man, what was his record last year? 5-22-2, 3.92 goals against average, and an 880 save percentage. So, I mean, just a terrific performance by him tonight, and he's really gotten off on a hot start. Troy had mentioned the shot attempts, 91 for the Anaheim Ducks against Chicago. Now, prior to this season, the last time the Blackhawks had given up 90-plus shot attempts in a game was March 16th, 2019, so 5 years ago, and ironically, it was a 2-0 win for the Blackhawks over Montreal. Now, I was getting ready to share that stat, like, oh, the Hawks haven't done that in 5 years, and I was like, wait a second, I'm almost positive they gave up 90-plus shot attempts in another game this year, because I remember looking up that stat specifically, and it actually was against the Edmonton Oilers on October 12th when the Blackhawks beat them 5-2. Shot attempts were 96-37 Edmonton, 96 shot attempts. The Blackhawks blocked a ton of them. I can't remember, was it something like 35 blocked shots in that Edmonton game? I don't quote me on the exact number, but it was a really high number. The scoring chances, according to Natural Stat Trick today, the Hawks allowed 54. So just putting it into perspective, 54 scoring chances on 91 shot attempts. That means half of the shot attempts, more than half of the shot attempts by Anaheim were scoring chances, which kind of puts Arvid Soderblom's performance into a little bit more context. Good night on the special teams for the Blackhawks. They went 2-for-2 on the power play. It was the third time this season the Blackhawks have scored multiple power play goals in the same or in a game. I can't remember how many times they did it last season. I think it's five. So the Hawks have done it three times this year. They only did it five all of last year, and it's good to see them get off the schneid too, because going into tonight's game, the Hawks were 2-for-22 on the power play in their previous seven games, so they matched their power play output just tonight from their previous seven games. So it's nice to see them get back on track in that department. I wrote something down. This was before Anaheim had scored the power play goal with 4 seconds left in regulation. So I will eat this. If you believe in jinxes, I will own this. But I had written down the Blackhawks penalty kill snapped a streak of allowing a power play goal in consecutive games. They have given up a power play goal in six straight games going into tonight. And I was getting ready to say that they had snapped that streak. Unfortunately, they were 4-for-4 on the penalty kill going into that last one in the final 2 minutes. Anaheim scores with 4 seconds left, so I guess that's now seven straight games where the Blackhawks have given up a power play goal, but feels like I don't really count that because the game was over and it came with 4 seconds left. And so, you know, unfortunate to see that streak extended, but I thought it was a really overall a solid performance by the penalty kill tonight, specifically Arvid Soderblom. Like, he was their best penalty killer all night. Okay, we have some post-game sound rolling in from Anaheim. I imagine that's going to be a happy plane ride home and a happy locker room after a win like this, and building off of the win in LA yesterday. 4 out of 4 points over the weekend. They finished the road trip 3-2-0 heading back home. And by the way, this is the first time all season the Blackhawks have won back-to-back games. They only won back-to-back games just 3 times last season. They have never won, or they had never won more than 2 in a row last season, which unheard of. They haven't won more. They didn't win more than 2 games in a row last season, so they have an opportunity to do so on Wednesday when Detroit comes to town. The Blackhawks post-game show rolls on after this. Connor Bedard and Arvid Soderblom spoke to the media. We'll hear from them next on 720 WGN.
Now it's fed ahead by Hall to Bedard over the duck line to the trailer. Phillips, he fires, he scores! Isaac Phillips with his first goal of the season in only his second game. That's his second NHL goal overall, and he gives the Hawks a 1-0 lead. Boy, did he fire that into the top shelf past Dostal.
Back on the Blackhawks post-game show, Charlie Romeliotis here to recap a 4-2 win over the Anaheim Ducks. That call you heard was Isaac Phillips scoring his first goal of the season in just his second game. Good on him for finding the back of the net. Wicked wrist shot, 41 feet out. That went top shelf, came in and out so quickly. The Anaheim goaltender Lucas Dostal had no idea where that puck was, and he just froze in the crease. But a nice goal by Isaac Phillips. He had a weird start to the season where he got put on waivers and then cleared waivers and was starting in Rockford, then I think played in a game and then got called up to Chicago and basically went like 3 weeks without playing a game, got sent back down to Rockford, and then got called up midway through this road trip, or at the beginning of after the Dallas game. And I don't think he was expecting that because it looked like Alec Martinez was getting ready to return. So anyway, nice to see Phillips get on the score sheet because he's had a difficult start to the season. He's had a great head on his shoulders. I've had a conversation with him about it, and he is a really bright young kid who has a really positive outlook. So good to see him on the score sheet. Connor Bedard quietly had 3 assists in this game after a 3-game point drought. He spoke to the media in Anaheim. Let's listen in.
So how's the feel been to have a win like this coming off, you know, the Kings game, like 2 strong games?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, obviously it's been a long trip, and you know, you're feeling it at the end, so it's good that we were able to kind of dig deep here and get a couple.
How would you assess the team's play tonight?
They were solid. I mean, you know, they had their looks, but overall, I mean, Sody was unbelievable, so he was our backbone, but I thought offensively we were pretty good.
How important is string to couple together? Last year you guys only had a couple, you know, 2-game winning streaks, but they do it this early, and then just the way you guys have played up until this part where you've been in every game.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, the goal is to win every game, and you know, only two-game win streaks is pretty tough. So, you know, we obviously want to improve that, but you know, we got to just kind of, you know, keep rolling. We can't be satisfied with you know, 2. We gotta get more.
Who's clicking with the power play?
Yeah, I thought, you know, both units moving it quick, and you know, there's no one our outs, and you know, battling. I think if you outwork the PK, you got an extra guy, so you should be able to get the puck, and then you know, let your skill kind of do the work.
You have some great plays in this game. So just, is that something that just takes time to develop over the season, get more of those?
Myself personally?
Yeah, well, the team.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we got good players that can make plays, so no, I mean, I feel like we're always going to have nice plays.
Do you have any clue who got that goal at the end?
Not a clue. Yeah, I don't know. They'd have to watch it. Maybe, I think Donna or Kirsch, one or the other.
What about those breakaway chances? Anything you would do differently, or is it just like a tough one to pull off?
I guess different move, but you know, it's been tough for me to put them in. So, might need a little magic here soon. But, yeah, I don't know. You obviously you try something, and goalie makes a save.
In the shootout last night, it's been a long time since you guys have had a shootout. Did you know going in you were going to shoot right away? Or?
Yeah, I kind of done that move in practice a little bit, and it worked. So, you know, I felt good with it and saw that it was open. So, yeah.
The fact you're getting those chances, is that, I guess, just do you feel like it's a matter of time that some of those are going in?
I don't know, man. I hope so. It's been obviously frustrating with you know, how many looks I feel like I'm getting, and you know, I just can't score to save my life right now. So, you know, hopefully soon, but yeah, we'll see.
I mean, but you have three helpers. You can't knock that. Right?
Yeah, for sure. No, it's good.
What do you think of Soderblom?
He was unbelievable tonight. You know, we had some breakdowns, and he was always there to make a big save. He made a lot of, you know, great saves, and, you know, we have confidence in both our guys. And obviously it had been a little bit since he'd played, so we know he was excited to get in there, and, you know, he was unreal.
Nice to give him the offensive support where last year, I mean, there were times where he had those games and just the goals weren't there.
Yeah, for sure. We know how good he is, and you know, like you said, there were so many good games where he's letting in one or two goals, and you know, we're losing 2-1, 1-0, whatever, and you know, it's good to, you know, help him. But I mean, he was the reason we won that game for sure.
What do you see from this road trip that you guys can build off of?
Yeah, I think some persistence. Just obviously last night's game, we're down 2-0 going into the third, and you know, we were really getting outplayed, and you know, just kind of regroup and figure out a way to win. That's what we're trying to learn is, you know, sometimes you got to win games that maybe you don't deserve to win. And, you know, I thought we did that last night and then came in today and, you know, weren't satisfied with that. So, you know, there's definitely things we're going to take away, good and bad.
That was Blackhawks forward Connor Bedard. You can hear the frustration in his voice of not scoring, but also tries to find the sense of humor saying, I can't score to save my life. He's like, I'm going to need some magic. And it's like he's saying that half-heartedly because he you can sense that he really is frustrated. I think of the in overtime yesterday against LA where he pulls off that sweet toe drag and hits the post. And then seconds later had a grade-A opportunity to finish it off, and the goaltender Darcy Kemper makes the save. Bedard goes back to the bench and his head is literally on the bench. He's just staring at his skates. And then in the game tonight, Connor has the breakaway and is denied by Lucas Dostal. So it's been a tough go for him. He also went three straight games, like I was mentioning earlier, three consecutive games without a point. So for him to pick up three assists in this one, I'm sure feels nice to where he can get close. He gets close to back to being a point per game player, but he prides himself on scoring goals too. And so, you know, I'm sure he wants to get inside that goal column. Pat's Outsiders had, at replied me on Twitter, said a refreshing performance on pretty much every level. You can feel Bedard's frustration with his lack of goal scoring, but he continues to put up points regardless. I think of, you know, I've always said this, I think of guys like Patrick Kane and, you know, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid. I mean, sometimes you can watch the games and you're like, ah, maybe they didn't have their best night. And then you look at the score sheet and you're like, wow, Kane had 2 points or he had, you know, 3 points or whatever. And it was still because they could, all it takes is one shift for those guys to produce. So I'm not worried at all about Connor because he's been getting chances and he eventually they are going to drop for him. So I'm honestly not concerned. And if anything, once he does find a way to break through, I wouldn't be surprised if the floodgates kind of open for him and he goes on a run where he's got a goal in three straight or he's got 4 goals in 3 games. And, you know, then we laugh at the 4-game goal drought. So hopefully he snaps out though on Wednesday against Detroit. Arvid Soderblom picked up his first win since since March 30th against Philadelphia. Here's what he had to say to the media in Anaheim.
Arvid, it had been a while since you have been in it. Were there any nerves about, you know, the long layoff?
Nerves? No. I know what my job is, and I focus on going out there and doing my job. So I wouldn't say nervous, but it's always a little, I wouldn't say rusty, but a little different. We haven't played in a while. But no nerves.
was it good as many chances they had early on? Was that, did it get you in the game quickly?
Yeah, it's always nice to field the puck early, get some shots. So that helped for sure to get going early in the first period.
Do you feel just more comfortable and confident this year, just all 3 year period starts?
Yeah, I feel like I've learned a lot my first years here, and I kind of have that in the back of my head, a lot of small details that I'm improving, and makes the game feel a little slower. I feel like I play a little calmer, let the game come to me instead of chasing it. And then we're playing better defensively this year as well, so that helps for sure.
Does it feel like your rebound control, it's, I guess from a year ago, it's improved?
Yeah, as I said, when you play a little calmer, let the puck come to you instead of chasing it, it's easier to get control over the pucks instead of having bounces all over the place. So that's kind of what I've been working on, and I feel like it's been working early on here.
It looked like they had a lot of block shots for you, and just kind of talk about the defense in front of you.
Yeah, we're playing much better defensively this year, both taking away rebounds, blocking shots, just keeping them to the outside, and it's more comfortable being goalie this year for sure.
Yeah, the 5 penalty kills. Did that just kind of make you go, oh my gosh?
No, you got to be able to win in different ways. Today we had to have good special teams, and next game we might win another way. So you got to be able to win different ways. And today the PK was great, so that was fun to see.
Blackhawks goaltender Arvid Soderblom. It's funny hearing him talk at the beginning, saying it's nice to see shots early. He faced quite a bit of shots, so I don't know if goaltenders want to face that many shots out of the gate, but he definitely did settle into the game pretty quickly after facing, I think at one point Anaheim was out shooting the Blackhawks 13-3 in the first period. So the Hawks definitely started off slow. It kind of looked similar to the LA game, but the Hawks were able to overcome that start and find a way to score the first 3 goals of this hockey game. By the way, thanks to Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times for getting us that sound. He's been helping us out all season long. We have more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game and thoughts from Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Play broken up by Jones, who sent it to the line. No further. Dumoulin creeping in, will fire. Shoulder save made by Soderblom. Rebound and a shot from beside the net. Soderblom lays down and put his pads down to the ice next to the post to keep that one out of the net.
Tonight's Save of the Game is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/PoweringBiz. We had about 9 entries for the Save of the Game because Soderblom made a lot of high quality chance saves tonight on high quality opportunities. Again, he finished with 37 saves on 39 shots. Lucas Dostal, one of his worst outings, but it just one of his non-normal outings of the season, 25 saves on 29 shots. He went into this game with a 4-2-2 record, 1.99 goals against average, and a .945 save percentage. So Arvid Soderblom dueled one of the hotter goalies in the NHL this season. Let's hear from Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson, who recapped the 4-2 win for the Blackhawks over Anaheim.
This game more to your liking?
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. Like, we weren't, blazing speed out of the gates, but it wasn't a slow start by any mean. And, I think the shot count was a little bit different, but I still think we played pretty good for a team that played yesterday and got in here. So I thought penalty killing was excellent, and as was the power play. And I think, that plus Sodi at certain times with a lot of low plays around the net and secondary chances, he was really excellent. That basically was the difference, I think.
What did you see in the power play? It seemed like you guys were creating.
I thought we just moved the puck really quick. We were really hard on second pucks to keep it alive in the zone, basically on both goals. So that's a credit to the guys. Like they played hard stick battles, whether it was a face-off or a rebound or them trying to clear it. And we went right into our attack again, and it got us 2 goals.
What was the key to the penalty kill?
We talked about it today, and Kevin had a good meeting this morning and said we have to get back on being more aggressive. And I think we were right till the end when it was 6-on-4 and the guys were tired. That's understandable, and they got a good bounce at the end. But I thought, we were aggressive on the entries. There was a couple face-off wins that I'd like to see better clears. Other than that, I thought the aggressiveness didn't really let them have a lot of looks on the inside. They did have some zone time on the outside, and we'll give them that.
What about Craig Smith sportsmanlike?
Not sure. I guess they said he was questioning them on different calls, and then they didn't call the maroon one, but we got called on some other ones. And I just think they just felt it was a little bit aggressive. But Craig said he wasn't swearing or he wasn't yelling. So that's just one of those things. Unfortunately, you get someone at the wrong time, and then you're going to have to sit it out. But we missed those guys, those two guys, for a while. So that puts a little bit of pressure on the entire team. But I thought the guys did an excellent job of handling the smaller bench up front.
Is there anything different you're noticing in Soderblom from last season?
Not really. I thought, I think just last year with our team losing a lot of players, and I think there was goals that were coming from areas that we really don't want to let in on the backside, and then it makes a goalie not feel comfortable, and they kind of shrink into the net. Where I thought last year at the beginning of the year, it was much like tonight's win when he beat Toronto twice. A lot of low plays around the net and secondary chances he's just solid on, and I think he's back to where he was at that time last year. So we got to do our job in front of him to keep him there.
Bedard had 3 assists. What did you see from him?
Much better game, I think, today than it was even yesterday. I think he was, moving his feet better, playing a smarter game where he was above and made them try and go through us. And it created a couple breakaway chances. I know he gets a little frustrated and not scoring on those, but just getting them, I think, is going to get him back into that zone where he's going to start. Those are going to be money, basically, when he gets them. And, he made a really nice play in the power play of not just being stagnant, and I think came rotating with Seth, moving it up and over and back, and then selling it, and then gives Seth a lot of room on the side. So worked out really well.
Of all the things we saw that you can like in this game, is the team improving going forward?
Yeah, I think that's a good step to not just win yesterday with a good comeback win and then just relax and be happy with that. We're not satisfied, and I think that's a great step for a professional sports team. Never satisfied, you go right after the next one, and we got four really big points, 2 big wins in California, and we'll take that home with us.
Phillips with the opening goal, did you have that on your bingo card?
I you never know, but I thought he had a real strong game again, and he got up the ice. It was good timing, and sometimes our D sometimes get ahead of that play, and it's not good timing, and I think his timing on that was excellent and a really nice shot. And I think the key was Bert driving the middle and a good screen for the goalie, so everything worked out really well in that.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson summarizing the 4-2 victory over Anaheim. Hey, I want to get to a texter, 309 number. He says, I'm a top tier Seth Jones hater, but he's having a great year and earning his $9.5 million this year. Still bothers me that he's here until 2030, but I'm happier than I have been in years past about his performances. I'm shouting it out because I like objective opinions about that. Seth has gotten a lot of heat over the last couple years solely based on the contract, but he really is one of those players. This year, we're seeing more improved version. I think in years past, Seth has been one of those guys that has tried to do so much because he hasn't had the support around him, whether it's on the back end or just the five-man unit he's on the ice with the forwards. And it's almost like he feels like he has to do it all. And so this year, I feel like he's a little bit more stable. I got to say, too, I really like him on a pairing with Wyatt Kaiser. He plays a really simple, predictable game, and I think that brings out the best in Seth Jones. And so credit to Seth for having a great year. And I'll also say this about Seth Jones. You don't realize how valuable he is to the roster until he's not in the lineup. Like, there was a stretch last year where he was out. Was it like a AC joint injury or something, and he was gone for like multiple weeks, and it was like, wow, that's 27 minutes a game that somebody else has to eat, or like the entire team had to kind of pick him up. You had to find different ways to fill those minutes. So Seth Jones, great to see him score on the power play tonight. It was interesting the way he scored. It was a clapper, one timer from Connor Bedard. You typically see the quick shots from him. Going into last season, he ended up changing the flex on his stick to make it whippier so he can get off those quicker shots. But in this game, scoring on the power play, his second of the season, it was a full blown slap shot. So we don't really see that in today's NHL anymore. I mean, you see slap shots occasionally, but with Seth Jones specifically, you know, he's been getting off those quick shots, and so nice to see him break through on the power play again. We got one more break, and then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks post-game show after this on 720 WGN. Back on the Blackhawks post-game show, recapping a 4-2 win over the Anaheim Ducks. I want to get to some quick hitters, some final thoughts, some notes, emptying out my notebook here that I had throughout the game. Ryan Donato extended his point streak to 5 games after scoring a late goal. Unbelievable goal, the way he just kind of jabbed it in within the final 3 minutes of regulation. He's got 5 goals and 2 assists over the 5-game point streak, 7 goals on the season, and 6 in his last 6 games. Lucas Reichel was on the top power play unit. I thought that was noteworthy. He was in Philip Kurashev's spot. Kurashev was out of both power play units altogether. Teuvo Teravainen slid into the second power play spot on the second unit, and Teravainen scored to end a 9-game goal drought. So nice to see Teravainen get off the schneid. He had 12:18 of ice time last game, and today he had 14:44. So he still wasn't as noticeable as I was hoping he would, but good to see him get off the schneid. All right, let's go to Detroit next. Game. Dylan Larkin scored a goal in against Buffalo.
Circle, yeah. Larkin down low to bring it. Thought about bringing it out in front. Not a Larkin. He scores! Another power play goal for the captain. And it's 2-1 Red Wings.
So our next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Detroit's coming into town to the United Center on Wednesday. The Red Wings are 5-1-1 this season. They have a -6 goal differential, but their underlying numbers are not very good. They're 32nd in shots on goal per game at 24.3. They have allowed the second most shots allowed per game at 34.1. 5-on-5 scoring chance, 4/against percentage is 31st in the NHL, and their penalty kill is 29th. In the league at 67.7%. I'm looking at their wins too. They beat the New York Islanders 1-0 about a week and a half ago. They only had 10 shots on goal in that game. Ironically, Patrick Kane was the only goal scorer. And then they beat Nashville 5-2 despite being outshot 39-22. So the Red Wings are a difficult team to, you know, I don't think this is the start that they wanted. They have lost some identity to their team. They let David Perron walk via free agency. Shane Gostisbehere and Daniel Sprong, they moved on from them. They traded Jake Walman to San Jose. He's a nice personality kind of player. And then Robbie Fabry, who had been part of the fabric for the last few seasons, is no longer, is actually on Anaheim. He played tonight. So I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit continues down this path, if Derek Lalonde's seat is going to get a little hot in Detroit and, you know, they make a potential coaching change, because this team had playoff expectations going into this season and their underlying numbers are not very good. Patrick Kane coming into town on Wednesday. We all know what happened the last time he was in Chicago. Scored the overtime winner, stole the thunder of Chris Chelios on his jersey retirement night. So we'll see what that game has in store. By the way, Kevin Powell and I are going to be at the Barn doing a sports show from 4:30 to 6:30. And then I'll be at the UC doing the pregame show at 6:30. So join us over at the Barn. It should be a fun time with Kevin and myself. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight. Our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Patrick Hennessy. They were led by our engineer, the Colonel, Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Anaheim, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-2 Blackhawks win over the Ducks. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday from the UC.